People make movies about positive thinking. Thinking positive. What are you thinking? Well, about money. Is that positive? Are you sure? Very positive. Since I'm thinking positive, said an American voice, I'm making a lot more money. America, America, the American dream. But is America a happy country? What do you think?
No.
No? What do you think? America, America. Is it a little bit happy country? Not a happy country. Why not?
No country is happy.
Huh?
No country is happy. There's no happy country.
Well, one thing I know, the statistics say that there are 2 times more guns than people. I don't care about that. What does that say about the place? It speaks for itself, I think. At least in my mind, you go, okay, 3 times more guns than people. So, no, that's not my definition of Paul's land, the land of beef and beer, where there's 3 times more violence than men. Yes, violence be violence. So it is said that on this planet, annually, 8 billion animals are being slaughtered. Then, first we breed them, then we feed them, then we eat them. 8 billion, that's a long woman. Calculate that in kilometers. That's impressive number of kilometers. A long line. So that's violence. A society that is based on violence will breed violence. Simple as that. So therefore, it says in the literatures that life must be based on non-violence. That's where it begins. Or it says, don't do someone else what you don't want to be done to you. Of course, many thinkers around the world came to the conclusion that there is a law of nature which is known as the law of karma. It hasn't been discovered in every part of the world, but in some parts they know it, but in other parts they still haven't discovered it. But basically the principle, every action has a reaction. There's truth to that. And also, whatever you do, you carry it with you in your consciousness. Because everything reflects in the consciousness, it remains there, whatever we do. When there's greed, then after a while, your fingers, they become like bent, like wings. If you are generous, you know, gradually your hands will open up and open up. Greed. Take. Can't believe you don't have any money. No. No work, no? No problem, no? No? Can you stand? That's amazing, right? If people give, then naturally you feel like, wow, that was far out. And then you feel like, wow, I'll give them something, next time I'll give them something. That's the nature of giving. Giving awakens more giving. And if everybody gives to everybody, then the world will also work. Instead of like everybody selling it to everybody, we can help each other pay a price. Okay, oh, so expensive, yes. Next time it's my turn. There's a good benefit. Now you've got to pay a price. And everybody's going to pay. So a world that is, of course, the world is based on the selfishness. It is a self-centered world. It is said sometimes the world is big enough for everyone's needs, but not big enough for everyone's greed. It's a world based on greed, if you look at it. Why is the air polluted, oceans polluted, and so on? Why are we pumping poisonous gas in the air with the vehicles that we drive? I mean, don't we know that we're guessing ourselves? Doesn't matter, because we make a lot of money in the process. Everyone can suffocate. It's okay, but some people are making money from the oil and so on, and also, even although inventions are there to run vehicles on other type of fuel. Not allowed. The petrol mafia will come in and finish. Do that. Because money is involved. So we need something different. Something based on generosity. It works. That's where friendship is born. Where there's generosity, you make friends. Where everything is based on charging top dollar, you pay it because you need it, but you hate them for it. They ripped you off, bastards. Well, that's what we think. We don't always say everything we think, but that's what we think. So I'm just trying. When individuals change, will the world change? We cannot change the world by saying the world should change. It won't until we change. But a community of people, first one, then a group, a community can make a change. So we can make a change. There's no doubt. That's the purpose. Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, our guru, he came alone to make a change. And he did exactly that. He opened temples and he said, anybody can stay, don't have to pay. But, okay, don't bring all your baggage from the world. No drugs, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat, no illicit sex. Purity. And then giving. The first time I came to a temple, it was on a Sunday because a friend had told me they gave out pretty good food. I'll check it out for free. Sounds good, let's check it out. So I went and it was good and there was lots of that and I was hungry. So they said, you want some more? I said, yeah, I'll take a little more. They gave me more. And in the end, I could still take some home. Which was good because in those days it was sort of student life and I wasn't really cooking, So they could get like some food that lasts for a few days. pretty good, yeah, wasn't it? So I thought, okay, I'm going to do this again. And that's how it works. Such generosity. Actually, he started his movement based on generosity. Just on giving and not charging you anything. And that's how people just became involved. And then start to see, wait a minute, it's not just about generosity, but it's about, it goes much further than just free food. It's about being a well-wisher of everybody. Isn't that like enlightened consciousness? Greed means I am a well-wisher of myself. Yes, I'm very kind to myself. All the time, actually. For me. But when we become the generosity means that we include the well-being of everyone. And isn't that the way the world will work? Otherwise, it's natural that this one's going to hate that one. If we don't include the well-being of everyone, we'll divide in camps. We'll divide in different parties. And we'll dig in. We'll say, we'll make a piece of land that will build us a strong border with a big razor blade fence so nobody can come in here. We put an army, we put guards, and say, this is our land. But the land belongs to everyone. The land, first of all, you know, like we say, this is my land because I was born here. No, right? It's like if you're South African, then South Africa is yours because you were born here. Now, that logic is a little strange because what if you were born in my house? Maybe it's expecting and doesn't make it in time to the hospital. Right? They happen sometimes. They give birth in a taxi. Yeah? It happens. You read it in the paper or in real life. Lady gives birth in a taxi. Doesn't mean that the taxi becomes the property of the child. Sorry, I took birth in this taxi. It's mine. So, who is the owner of a particular plot of land? We can argue about it. I was born in this place, it's mine. No, I paid money for it, it's mine. Well, I've got a bigger plan than you, it's mine. Oh, that's a good argument. I appreciate that. It's a good project. It's yours. But it doesn't come from the heart. No. Actually, you know, if you take birth in a taxi, the taxi was already there before you were born. So how was it your taxi? The land was already there before we took birth. So how was it our land? In that way, the land belongs to the Supreme Lord. And he allows everyone to stay. It's human beings that make borders, walls, signs, you know.
Left, right, stop.
Right.
Toll.
That's what human beings do. But the Supreme Lord didn't do that. This is South Africa, and there is Mozambique. I mean, what's the difference, you know? Suddenly, you're in Mozambique now. Sorry, no longer in South Africa. You're in Mozambique. And who made that line? It's some people who sat down with a map and drew a line on the map. It's the earth. The earth is a gift to us. We have received that gift. The air, the water, the sunlight. This is the gift that we receive. So it all begins with a gift, actually. And that is where it begins. That we understand, instead of saying it's mine, I'm saying, no, I was given this to you. And here I am now. And now it's my turn to do the same generosity. That is the original plan of the order of things. The original plan is to share. The original plan is brotherhood. The original plan is to be all-inclusive, the well-being of all living beings. But due to selfishness, we've spoiled it. A wall here, a wall there, you know, I am the boss, you know, you must work for me, and so on, and so on. Exploitation. Out of everywhere, exploitation. The history of the world is a history of exploitation. Everywhere. And it's very subtle. We make people think that they are free. We are free. Slavery abolished. Is it really? Or does it still exist? Slave of the bank. Alone. Take a moment. You want to create a call. Create a call. You have a bad credit record. So the whole system is still enslaving us. Same thing. Still, because it's the whole thing. And I don't know if you read the book 1984, Big Brother. If you haven't, interesting book. It's talking about how society is controlled by ruthless people who are monitoring us. And everywhere they have TV screens that monitor people. Now, this book was written long ago, some 30 years earlier than 1984. So it was predicting the future. Well, the future didn't go exactly as the book predicted, but a bit similar. Because now everybody locks in. Everybody locks in every day. Wherever you are, they know it. Your phone knows where you are. Just click and it'll tell you exactly. Chance words. Bleep. Bleep. Yes, it will tell you. So the exploitation is still there and will always be there. Because as long as people are pure, as long as the selfishness is in the hearts of the people, as long as we see ourselves as the center of the universe, as long as everyone is the separate center. They're stranger, I don't know. You know. So, therefore, I don't care about you. I have no feelings for you because I've never met you, don't know you, you're stranger. You know. So, whatever happens to you. If you drop dead on the street, that's your problem, you know? I'm still alive. It's your story. Yeah. If you block my way and I fall dead in front of me, I'll step over you. And fall, because you're a stranger. So this selfishness, as we can see, where we are the center of things, that's where the problem begins. And that's where the change has to be made. Where we say, there's one, everything is coming from one supreme word. The world, he had another purpose than with the world, than selfishness. And if we create an inclusive community, everyone includes the well-being of everyone. No one is exempt. There are no strangers. Everyone is close to us. If that consciousness is there, yeah, then the world will be a better place. Okay, and we will be on the way to board the train. From the bus, then we can get on the bus. Yeah. That's the ticket. If you want a ticket for that bus, it's the ticket of selflessness. And then we open us to the spiritual world. Well, any questions, comments, challenges? Everything's okay as long as you don't tell your chairs. there's no questions, please see me again. Yeah?
So, I'd like to ask, how do we go about unconditioning ourselves?
Unconditioning ourselves.
Innate greed, yeah.
First of all, there's two approaches, two ways. One is we try to change ourselves. We just try and remind ourselves, you know, be generous, even if you feel like it hurts to give. But okay, I
guess.
So practice also, that's one way. And the other way is simply this is channel of Krishna and devotional service. So whatever you do for Krishna, that's service. The channel of Krishna, it changes us. Then we use the service of Krishna. We don't need to pay, we just do it for Krishna. So in that we change. Gradually change. Takes time, as you say, the condition is deep. But change starts.
This metaphor
as loud as you can speak would be great.
Okay. You know how people think that they are centers of people?
Yeah.
And they feel they feel as though they have power over others.
Yes. We all have a little bit of capacity to control, and a certain amount of control is necessary. You know, like older kids control younger kids, parents control their kids. Leadership is also needed. Yeah. But we are small controllers. But because the control is in us, sometimes that controlling propensity gets out of hand, and we want to become the big control, bigger and bigger control. But that we are not. So we can only control on behalf of the ultimate control. In other words, we make plans within the divine plan. We are plan makers. I don't know if you had a plan today, but I did. I had a plan, I was a joker, and I had a plan to make it to the bang, and it's like, so, okay, a little time is getting up, a little time is going, and it's like, and plan. I mean, plans we make, but there's a bigger plan, and we should make sure our plan is not in conflict with the bigger plan. But some people, they get carried away, and they create a plan that is not considering the bigger plan. And then it causes a disturbance. And that's like, it's only, like I was on a plane, and this man comes down, there's only one seat empty next to me. Then the last passenger came on. He looks like a drug dealer from Nigeria. And he had a golden chain. And which they all have. Then he came, he sat next to me, and he had a book of Pablo Escobar, you know. So then I talked to him, said, where are you from? He said, Nigeria. Then he had a magazine, he started reading the magazine. And then there was a center spread and it showed how much money was stolen by different government leaders. And they had Suharto from Indonesia in that magazine, and they wrote $59 billion.
Sounds good.
I was reading over it shortly, you know. $59 billion. And then he said, he stole $59 billion. $59 billion. You could spend it if you want to. $59 billion. You could spend it if you want. And when I came on that plane, guess what I was saying? That's right. He stole $59 billion. So, what's he doing? Stealing all that money from the people. For what? He can't even spend it. He died, you know? He's dead and gone now. And he has to pay the bill for all the money that he stole. What did he steal it for? He couldn't even use it.
Selfless, what do you mean? Because sometimes you get to find a homeless guy in the streets of Durban, and you can't really be nice to these people because you meet them and then you become nice to them, and then the next thing you are broke, you don't have money. So, what does it mean to be selfless? Does it mean like giving money to every homeless person who sells the streets, or just serving the devotees and the prisoner?
It may not mean that they can give money directly to every homeless on the street, because what will they do with it anyway? Not only food, but drugs and God knows what, because it's low life out there living on the street. But collectively, it's society's fault that there are people living on the street like that. You know what I'm saying? It's basically, now we're in a society which is wrong. And it's because of not proper distribution of facilities that this is existing. That we should understand. It's not that there's not enough to go around. It's just, it's not properly distributed. So maybe instead of giving it to the man on the street, maybe we should work upwards to make a change. Maybe it's a more intelligent approach. But we could think of doing something about it. Yeah. Or maybe we begin to explain these teachings to people. Yeah. And to create more awareness. And maybe that will help. Yeah. We can give something to people who are destitute. And the best is to give them things that they can use rather than money which they can misuse. And, if you give everything away, then you'll start, and you'll be on the street after a while. You see how it's going. Nobody cares. Nobody can give you anything else. But we need an intelligent solution for this. Let's first look at the cause of the problem. Why are there destitute people on the streets? Is there not enough food? Yeah. Is the land not producing enough enough food for people to eat? Yeah. It does. So ultimately there's something wrong with the solution. Then why are the cause of communism? Yeah, but that's like the same writer who wrote the book 1984 wrote another book called The Animal Farm. And then you know that book, but it's the animals kicked out the farmer, and then, like, you know, there was no one to look after the farm. So then the pigs volunteered. And after a while, the pigs, in order to look after the farm better, they moved in the house of the farmer. And after a while, they started to walk on their hind legs. And even after a while, they started to wear clothes, just like human beings. And then, one day, all the animals confronted them. And they said, but I thought we are all equal. And the pig said, yes, we are all equal, but some are more equal than the other.
What?
That's a good book. It's a good story. So how to do it? How to actually solve this? How to change the world into a world where there are no destitute people on the street? Let's ask that question and let's find a solution. Like your own students, so you can make an impact in society. Once you have a degree, you'll be a leader in society. So you're the leaders of tomorrow. So if 100 professionals get behind something, it's a character. Manifesto. A political party. I don't know how we want to tackle it. The way I think we should tackle it is, first of all, by giving people knowledge. We speak about this and create awareness that greed is a problem, maybe when there's a beginning of a change. We help some people on the streets. That's not a private effort. The government has to do that. If the government really is designed properly, then they'll do it. I don't want to blame the government of South Africa that has inherited the history and then say they can override this change. But the principle is that it should be the leader of the country that would take everyone off the streets. You agree? You alone are not going to be able to do it. But then you have like St. Francis of Assisi, yeah? And he did exactly what you were suggesting. If he would see somebody poor, he would give them everything he had. And with that attitude, others became inspired by him. So he created a movement. Giving him. It isn't so hard, but very difficult.
Give an example about credit cards being some sort of enslavement. So a person who uses a credit card, they generally feel happy, and every time their credit is being updated. So for the devotional service, because I'm thinking of, let's say you're devoted, and every time you get to a state of devotion, you get updated in a way. So I want to know whether because credit card is like some sort of smart slavery. And what differentiates it from devotion? Is it because yeah. both the people are feeling happy and excited?
Sure.
And
okay.
So I want to know what. Is it because it has the term spirituality in it that it makes you feel like, okay, what you're doing is good, and the other one has materialist?
I guess it begins at the root, and the root of things is we are not independent, no matter what. Yeah. Nobody is on his own. You need water, you need food, you need light, you need so many things outside of ourselves. So therefore we are dependent on external things for our happiness, and that's where it begins. So therefore complete freedom we don't have, because we're dependent. If you're completely independent, then you can have complete freedom. But we don't have that, because we need food, we need water, we need shelter, we need so many things. Yeah. So, yeah, the example of the credit card is it gives you some immediate pleasure, but then you have a debt. And with the debt, you really have to pay, you know. And the court, if you don't pay, then eventually the court, you know, starts confiscating, starts controlling you, this way, that way. Of course, there are tricks that you can use to avoid that. But anyway, you become enslaved because of the debt. Now, in spiritual things, if you, in devotion, you understand that actually, now I'm turning in gratitude to the one who actually supplied everything, originally, the air, the light, the water, the earth. I'm turning in gratitude to that personality. And so he already gave me everything. Yeah. So I'm paying back the gratitude, that's all. Yeah. That's devotion. The devotion is about gratitude for what we already got. The credit card is like, I got so many things, but it's not enough. I want something more. And then I have this gold card. Gold card. American Express card. Whoa! Stack of cash coming on your sheet. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But tomorrow, you have a debt. And then, there's a court order on your house. Freedom, we made you a slave of the bank. to that so economy. Loan will come out, loan for the guy